Coming up next is another edition of your favorite podcast, The Daily Dose with Clint Daly. But have you ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor is the easiest host site out there because they give you everything you need in one place that you can use from either your computer or your phone. They have creation tools that will help your podcast sound great. They'll distribute it for you to all the major podcast sites, and you can make money from your show without any minimum number of listeners. Just download the Anchor app to your phone or go to anchor.fm to get started. And the best part about Anchor, it is completely free. Go start your new podcast today. Now let's get to the Daily Dose.
Tuesday, June 4th, 2019, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado. You know, we get together every single weekday, and we talk sports with a dose of common sense. We are happy to have you here with us today. Happy Tuesday to you. Hopefully, you got past that Monday, you put that behind you, and now we are beginning to move on. But you know, on this Tuesday, June 4th, it is actually a little bit of a sad day to reflect on in the world of sports, because for some reason, and I don't know what it is, you know, sometimes these weird things just kind of happen. We have lost some really talented sports figures on the date of June 4th. I mean, think back to 2007, where we lost American baseball player Cleet Boyer. Pretty good player. And then NASCAR pioneer Bill France Jr., he passed away also in 2007. In 2010, we lost one of the greatest coaches in the history of any sort of sport when we lost American basketball player and coach John Wooden at the age of 99. In 2014, we lost American baseball manager Don Zimmer. He passed away from heart failure at the age of 83. And then just last year, American NFL wide receiver and front office executive Dwight Clark, who of course was on the receiving end of the catch from Joe Montana in the San Francisco 49ers NFC Championship win over the Dallas Cowboys back in 81, Dwight Clark also died on June 4th of ALS at the age of 61. Hey, we have lost some really good sports figures on June 4th. Let's just all kind of keep our fingers crossed and hope we don't get any bad news today, because for whatever reason, the date June 4th, yeah, it's kind of a scary day in sports. Hey, if you'd like to contact us, maybe tell us what memories you might have had of any of these sports figures we just mentioned. We'd love to hear from you. Hit us up on email, dailydosesports@gmail.com, or go over to Facebook or Twitter and find us over there. Maybe you just have a quick question. Maybe it's not even anything that you're going, he doesn't have to talk about this on the show. I just wanted to get his opinion on something. Reach out to us over on Facebook or Twitter. We'll get back to you quickly. We might end up using it on the show. But maybe you've got a question, a comment, a suggestion. Reach out to us. We want to hear what you have to say. Also, make sure you stop by tpublic.com, search Daily Dose, and pick up some of the Daily Dose gear that we have over there. We've got Daily Dose iTeam gear over there. We've got our standard Daily Dose gear. We've got hoodies. We've got t-shirts. We've got coffee mugs, laptop cases, stickers, a number of cool things over at tpublic. Make sure you stop by and get some of that Daily Dose gear. Don't forget, Father's Day is coming later this month. Hey, what better way to show the fathers in your life that you love them than by getting them some fresh new Daily Dose gear? Make sure you stop by tpublic.com. Hey, today on the show, we do have a few breaking news stories we need to get to, but then the Major League Baseball season, hey, it's rolling along. I know we're not quite to the midway point. We're getting close. And there are a few teams out there, hey, they're struggling right off the bat. At what point should some of these baseball teams start to get a little bit concerned? Going to be talking about which teams might want to start mashing that panic button. Danger warning. As soon as possible. We will get to those in just a few minutes. Not a ton coming out in the world of breaking news, but we do have a couple of stories that I want to hit on. Let's see. The St. Louis Blues fought back last night in Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final to beat the Boston Bruins 4-2 in a game. I mean, they had to have it. They couldn't afford to go down 3-1 in that series, or it definitely would have been over. Hey, after the way St. Louis got blown out on Saturday night, that was pretty impressive. I give them a little bit of credit. Hopefully, this series is going 7 games. I was a little bit nervous about that game last night, but they get a win. I mean, honestly, maybe the biggest news we have today might be that nerdy sports gambler James, whatever his last name is, finally got beat on Jeopardy last night. Have you seen this guy? He was running the table. He actually racked up like $2.5 million in winnings last night. He finally got beat, but I'm not really sure that's actually sports news. Quite a bit of attention being given yesterday to Golden State Warriors guard Steph Curry's comments after the Warriors' Game 2 win on Sunday night over the Toronto Raptors, when, of course, the Raptors were running that box and one on Steph Curry. Now, after the game, Curry called out the Raptors' fourth quarter defense, specifically their efforts on Golden State's final possession. Here is what Steph had to say. The whole fourth quarter, they were playing some janky defense. Over the course of the game, it's kind of disrespectful to leave Andre Iguodala open like that. He's made big shots like that before. Hey, the Raptors were heavily trapping Steph as the clock wound down in game two, and they left Andre Iguodala wide open. He found himself with plenty of time, had his feet set, knocked down the game-sealing three-pointer, and the Warriors tie up the series at 1-1. But you know, it's kind of funny to now listen to all of the arguments, you know, on talk radio, on sports podcasts, on sports media, and just hearing everyone saying, well, we have to have a hero and we have to have a villain. So, hey, the Raptors were exactly right doing what they did. Steph Curry's a moron. Or Steph Curry's exactly right to say that was disrespectful and the Raptors are idiots for trying to run that junk defense. But isn't it kind of possible? Just maybe. I'm just throwing this out there. That both sides are actually correct. I mean, hey, the Raptors were betting on the fact that the players surrounding Steph Curry might not step up and knock down a shot. I mean, think about this for 1 second. Imagine if they don't double Curry. And imagine if Steph Curry drives in and hits a little runner and still hits a clutch basket. Everyone says, well, why did you let Steph beat you? What in the world were you doing? You knew Steph Curry was hot. You knew on the floor, he was the guy that you absolutely had to stop. Why did you let him beat you? Go make someone else do that. It's the same thing we talked about in the Raptors series versus the Philadelphia 76ers in Game 7. Hey, make someone else beat you. Don't let Kawhi Leonard beat you. Make someone else beat you. So the Raptors actually go out and do that. And people are saying, well, why were you running junk defense? Now, don't get me wrong. I said this yesterday. Junk defense will not continue to work the further they go into the series. They're not going to be able to go to that very often because I promise you, Steve Kerr is kind of walking through some things today and saying, hey, if we see this again, here's what I want you to do. Here's how I want you to attack it. Here's where I want you to line up. We'll go put Steph as a screener. We'll go let him screen and slip and see if we can't get him some layups, but there's no way they're going to run that junk on us. At the same time, I look at it from the Raptors' perspective and say, yeah, you might as well try something. I mean, they were dead in the water in that fourth quarter. They were down at times 10, 11 points. They made the comeback. They said to themselves, hey, we're going to make someone else beat us, and someone else beat them. So you have to live with that. On the other side, Steph Curry looks at it and says, hey, you're running that janky defense. It's kind of disrespectful. If you are Steph Curry, that is absolutely how you look at it. You're going to disrespect us. You're not going to guard us. You're not going to guard a former NBA Finals MVP. Yeah, it's disrespectful. And anytime as an opposing player, if you run junk defense against me, I take it as an insult to my intelligence, to my ability to create and figure these things out. Now, Toronto had some success with this, so I give them a little bit of credit, but I see both sides of this. There's not always a hero. There's not always a villain. Toronto tried something. It didn't work. Steph Curry thinks it's disrespectful. And in a way, he's kind of right. We don't have to have a hero and a villain. Moving over to the NFL, NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell did say yesterday that he still wants to reduce the preseason schedule at a time when the league and Players Association have already started to talk about a new collective bargaining agreement. Here's what Goodell had to say. I feel what we should be doing is always to the highest quality. And I'm not sure preseason games meet that level anymore to get ready for a season to evaluate players, develop players. There are other ways of doing that, and we've had a lot of discussions about that. Yeah, of course they have. This makes total sense. Yeah, you've had discussions about how to get players to agree to less preseason games in return for an 18-game schedule. But do you really think that either of these sides, players or owners, are going to say, well, yeah, we all just thought we'd agree to less money. Hey, we're cutting the games, which mean less money for everyone. I mean, that's what's best for the league. Sure, it's less money, but come on, it's the right thing to do. Does anyone really think that's what's going on? Because that's not what's going on here. I mean, let me know when any big business, forget big sports business. Let me know when any big business just says, you know what? We're kind of thinking about these things and we've decided it would be at everyone's best interest if we just, you know, kind of took less money. We're not really out to just be all about money. We just kind of thought we'd back things off. Yeah, that's never going to happen. We're never going to see that. Remember, that NFL collective bargaining agreement will end after next season. It's not a coincidence that Roger Goodell is throwing this out there. Hey, players, we want less preseason games. It's just opportunities for you to get hurt. We don't want that anymore. And the players are going to say, yeah, okay, that's great. And then the owners are going to say, well, here's the downside. We're going to take away the preseason games, but you're also going to make a little less money. Well, wait a second. We don't want that. Oh, okay. Well, here's what we're thinking of doing. We were going to take off 3 preseason games, and then we were just going to add 2 more regular season games. So you get 1 preseason, you know, kind of a dress rehearsal, and then you have an 18-game regular season. What do you think? That's exactly what is happening. And remember this when we hear these things coming from Roger Goodell. It is never Roger Goodell acting independently. That doesn't happen. Roger Goodell is always doing what the NFL owners ask him to do. I promise you, the NFL owners are saying, hey, start throwing out some of the things we want because that CBA is coming due and we don't want to get stuck with nothing. Make sure we get some of the things we want. Hey, after that next season, when the CBA comes due, we just might have NFL Armageddon because they are going to be a long ways apart on a number of issues. Hey, coming back, like I said, we have some Major League Baseball teams that maybe you had some high expectations of. Maybe we actually thought this was the year they could do something. And yet, right out of the gate, they're not doing anything. We are now getting a little ways in to that Major League Baseball season. Once we get to about July 4th, we start looking around and saying, okay, I think we know who is who. We're reaching that point. Which of these teams that have gotten off to a slow start, which of them should probably start to panic pretty soon? We've got a few teams that are going to want to hit that panic button soon, and we've got a few others that just need to relax. Everything will be okay. We're going to talk about both of those when we get back.
Just a quick reminder that if you have any shopping to do, maybe you have a birthday coming or an anniversary, or you just want to buy something for yourself. And don't forget that Father's Day is in June. You're going to want to head over to lootcrate.com/dailydose, where you can find all the latest pop culture collectibles that feature your favorite TV shows, movies, and video games. June's Loot Crate theme is now out, and it's called Toy Box. Return to an era where action figures were plentiful, towels doubled as capes, the floor was lava, and Saturday morning cartoons were serious business. Crack open our Toy Box and play around with some awesome pop culture gear. June's Loot Crate theme features items from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Legend of Zelda, and more. But if none of those franchises interest you, remember, you can go to Loot Crate and choose from a huge selection of other crates. You can also order a monthly subscription of crates that will arrive in your mailbox each month. Or you can just order individual items for whatever franchise you want. The best part about ordering from Loot Crate is when you check out, be sure to enter Daily Dose in the coupon box, and we will get you 10% off of your order, just as a thank you for listening to The Daily Dose.
Okay, so look, we don't talk a ton of Major League Baseball here on The Daily Dose, at least not to the depth that we talk some of the other more, more interesting sports. Yeah, I guess that would be probably how I'd say that. But we are now into June. And while I am a firm believer that we shouldn't believe too much about what we see in Major League Baseball until at least probably July 4th, we wanted to kind of take a little bit of an early look, which is kind of weird to say because we are actually closing in on already having played 60 games in Major League Baseball. But I think we still have like 11 months or so of the season to go. But there are a number of teams that have gotten off to slow starts so far this year. In fact, do you realize this? Do you realize there are already 14 teams in the majors that have losing records? 14? There's only 30 teams in the entire league. So nearly half of the teams in Major League Baseball are under 500. Hey, well done, Major League Baseball. Hard to tell why no one really goes to your games, isn't it? Probably doesn't help that half the teams suck. I mean, why would I want to go spend money on tickets to see a bad baseball team? Well, half the teams in the majors aren't very good. So that's what we're watching. Anyways, so far this season, which teams that have gotten off to a slow start should actually be concerned? Some of these teams are going to snap out of it. Some of them are going to get better down the stretch. And we're going to say, what were we worrying about back in June? They were fine. We should have just been patient. Well, today we are going to look at which Major League Baseball teams should be smashing that panic button right now.
Danger warning.
Even though it's only June. And yes, we'll probably have to go back and revisit this here in a month or so when we get a little bit of a more clear picture. But which teams should be panicking at the way they have started so far in baseball? And let's go ahead and jump in, because one team that has really been struggling lately that we expected to just kind of do well is the Cleveland Indians. Now, the Tribe has lost like 7 of their last 10 games, but maybe this isn't anything to worry about. Maybe this is just a case of the mid-season blues, and the Cleveland Indians are going to bounce back and eventually be that playoff team that we all kind of thought that they would be. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say, Indians fans, feel free to panic anytime now, because the only team that the Cleveland Indians have managed to beat lately is the Baltimore Orioles, who again are one of the worst teams in all of baseball. But here is the bigger problem for Cleveland. Aside from the fact that their pitching isn't getting it done like we expected it to, we are used to the American League Central just kind of being soft. So maybe Cleveland isn't great, and when they get to the playoffs, they probably won't do anything. But they play in such a soft division, who cares? They can skate through and get in the postseason. Yeah, here's the problem. The Minnesota Twins are looking very strong. The Cleveland Indians, yeah, go ahead and start panicking, because you could be in some trouble. I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs right now. We'll see if Cleveland can get things going. But yes, they should panic. Another team that probably wants to panic is a team that I really like the way they started. How could you not? The Seattle Mariners got off to a 13-2 start. But since then, Seattle has gone 12-33, and the Mariners are circling the drain already, and it's barely June. They can't pitch. They can't score. Do you realize that the Seattle Mariners' run differential is closing in on being a minus 60 already? Yes, Mariners fan, go ahead and feel free to just lose it. Start smashing that panic button with a sledgehammer.
Danger warning.
Just like every other year, the Seattle Mariners, yet you're not going to be very good. Hey, maybe they rally. Maybe they win a few games here or there. They're definitely not going to be a contender. Feel free to panic, Seattle Mariners. But there is one team out there that I know we're starting to hear, even from the experts, hey, we know they're the defending champions. But the Boston Red Sox, they've got problems. Their pitching is not very good. Their bullpen is not very good. They're hovering right around that 500 mark. So shouldn't the Boston fans go ahead and start panicking? They're not playing that well lately. Look, I would love for that to be the case. I really would. There is nothing I like more now in this stage of my life than watching Boston fans get their hearts broken. But it's not happening these days very often. Unfortunately, I don't think it's going to happen here with these Red Sox either, because the Boston Red Sox, while they do play in that nasty AL East, and they still have to face Tampa and the Yankees a number of times, and no, I don't like their starting pitching. I don't have much faith in their bullpen, but why do you just know that the Boston Red Sox are going to figure this out? Why do you just know that lineup is going to start coming through at crunch time when they have to, as we get into August and September? They're going to come up with clutch hits when other teams don't. They didn't really look that good, but they ground out another win last night. I don't know how they did it, because that's just what a team like the Boston Red Sox would do. And manager Alex Cora, he's going to get this team to rally. They're going to figure some things out. So as much as I would love to say, Boston Red Sox, feel free to panic, yeah, I can't do it. Relax, Boston fans, and everyone else who hates Boston, and I'm right there with you, but relax, because Boston is still going to be in the hunt. They're not going away. I wish that they would. There's too much talent on that roster for me to just say, yeah, Boston, you're in trouble. I don't think it's going to happen. But let's move over to a team that probably should panic, because I know they started off the season showing some promise, and they have what is widely accepted as the best player in all of baseball. But hey, there's no glossing over the fact that the Los Angeles Angels, go ahead and panic all you want because you are in serious, serious trouble. Yes, you have Mike Trout. And Mike Trout is still playing amazing. But can we check if like Mike Trout can go ahead and start adding pitching to his resume? Because the Angels, yeah, they really, really need some pitchers. They are now a few games under 500. And here's the bad news. As we go down the stretch, you know these pitchers are going to start wearing out. So they're probably going to actually get a little bit worse, which is really disturbing to think about because they've been really, really bad to start with. But the Angels bullpen is closing in on a combined ERA of 7. Yeah, that's going to get any team destroyed. Those Angels, you can go ahead and start panicking. I just feel so bad for poor Mike Trout. He is just going to be that guy, it seems like, that is stuck on a horrible team every year. And we're all kind of rooting for him. We all want him to win. We want him to be a little bit better, but you're just kind of Archie Manning. You're stuck in a bad situation. You're stuck on a bad team and you just don't have enough help around you. Los Angeles Angels, feel free to start panicking because I don't think you're going to be very good. Switching over toward the National League, I've got a team here that can probably start to panic real soon because I know that this Major League Baseball season, it seems, at least to me, and of course I'm not a huge baseball guy, but it seems to me to be really, really boring this year. I mean, attendance is down, TV ratings are down, we already talked about. There's not that many winning teams. When just under half of the league is just under 500, you're talking about good teams facing bad teams. It's not a very fun product to watch. It's not good. But you might not realize this. We are actually witnessing something historic this year, possibly being done by the Washington Nationals. And no, it's not in a good way. Do you realize that the Washington Nationals bullpen currently has a 7.25 ERA collectively? Hey, they could, keep your fingers crossed, be on track for the worst statistical bullpen since prior to both world wars. That's how bad the Washington Nationals bullpen is. Yeah, Washington Nationals, go ahead and panic all you want. Hit the panic button.
Danger warning.
Start trying to find trades. Start firing people. Do whatever you want because you should be panicking. That bullpen is horrible. There's no way you're going to go anywhere with that bullpen. As much talent as Washington has, that bullpen's going to hold you down. Go ahead and start panicking. Now, our next team, I don't actually buy into them as a true contender. I just don't like that bullpen enough come playoff time. But after winning 90 games last season, the Atlanta Braves, they're also kind of stuck right around that 500 mark. But I would say go ahead and relax with these Atlanta Braves. Remember, this team is a young team. They are probably going to improve. I don't expect much from that bullpen again this year, but the lineup's going to get better. They're going to start making clutch plays and manufacturing scoring like they did last year. And for that reason, I wouldn't panic as an Atlanta Braves fan. They're going to be at least in the hunt for a playoff berth. And then you just hope magically the bullpen kind of figures itself out. But Atlanta Braves, you can go ahead and relax. I think you'll be fine. But I've got a couple more teams here that can go ahead and panic all they want. And I told you, at the beginning of the baseball season, I was going to try. I was going to do my best to cheer for my hometown Colorado Rockies. But I mean, I can't just be blind. I can't just be a moron just cheering despite the huge flaws that I see in this team. And the Colorado Rockies are right back to being a team that, like they usually are, doesn't matter 1 ounce as usual. Now, the Rockies somehow made the playoffs last year, and they thought they were all set to roll out mostly the same exact roster, and they'll just do it again. Hey, here's the guys that did it last year. Same guys coming back. We'll add a couple little pieces here, and we'll be just fine. Except that this is the Colorado Rockies we're talking about, right? They can't have nice things. That's not how any of this works. Yes, they have 3 very good players in Nolan Arenado, Charlie Blackmon, and Trevor Story. But here's the problem for the Rockies. Other teams have more than just 3 players. You can't just win with only 3 good players. This isn't basketball. You have to have more players than that. The Rockies are getting nothing from anyone else. So they literally are rolling in with 3 guys and saying, well, we're hoping our 3 guys are better than your 18. But they're not. The Rockies are getting absolutely nothing from any of their pitchers. Tyler Anderson has been dreadful. Kyle Freeland just got relegated to the minors. That was a guy they were counting on. He's now pitching in the minor leagues. The Rockies are once again a mess, just like they are every other single year since, I don't know, ever. Panic away, Rockies fans. And you know the worst thing about it? You're again irrelevant. There's no reason to even pay attention to what you're doing. The Colorado Rockies should absolutely be panicking. Do your worst. Go crazy. Burn the place down because you're not going anywhere. One other team that should be panicking, and that is the New York Mets, who went out this offseason and they spent more money than they usually do. I won't say they spent a lot of money, but for the Mets, they spent good money. And so far, yeah, it's not looking like money well spent at all. Yes, the Mets are right around 500, but I could totally see the New York Mets just collapsing completely, like literally at any second. We knew that they were going to have a hard time generating scoring. We knew that was going to be a problem for the Mets. Hey, they don't have a ton of big hitters in that lineup, but the pitching is still going to come through, isn't it? We're still going to get quality pitching. Yeah, that hasn't been great either. If I were the New York Mets, I would probably mash the ultimate panic button. I'd probably go ahead and fire manager Mickey Callaway just to see, could this possibly, I don't know, just generate some energy around this team? We are starting to see the Mets players quitting. It's June. You're starting to see them not run out singles. You're starting to see them not hustle for balls that we know they could get. The New York Mets are starting to quit. And for that reason alone, yeah, go ahead and start panicking. Finally, I want to take a look at one other team who it is really tempting to say, yeah, you might want to panic. Because when I look at the St. Louis Cardinals, who just finished up an absolutely brutal month of May, yeah, I'm sort of tempted to say, St. Louis, start panicking. The Cardinals were 19-10 when they finished up in April. Then, in the month of May, the St. Louis Cardinals went 11-18. But I'm going to say, pull back on panicking. Don't do it quite yet, because I still think this group has enough talent. They shouldn't panic quite yet. The starting pitching has been awful. But there's talent there. They're just not playing very well right now. Shouldn't a guy like Michael Wacha eventually return to form? We've seen how good he can be, but he's really bad right now. He's even been taken out of the lineup. But if the Cardinals can get some pitching, hey, they can still contend, because as bad as they've been, they're still only like 3 or 4 games out of the top spot in the NL Central. So I know it's tempting to panic, Cardinals fan. Relax. You should still be okay. You've just got to figure a few things out. Hey, the Major League Baseball season, it is rolling along. And here in the next month or so, I believe we are going to start to see some genuine separation of the true contenders from those that are not quite ready for prime time. Right now, we know that playoff picture, it's a long ways out. It's really, really muddled. We don't know who's going to do what, but it's just going to continue taking shape. We're going to see some of the big dogs emerge. Hopefully, we can wake back up when all of those things actually happen and tune back into Major League Baseball. I'm telling you right now, once that NBA and NHL ends, there is not going to be another thing for us to watch. So get ready for the dry days of baseball, because they are coming. But don't worry, here at the Daily Dose, we will make sure that we give you something to listen to so that you're not bored through what are, without question, the most boring sports months of the year. Hey, tomorrow on the Daily Dose, we will, of course, be bringing you the latest and greatest stories in the world of sports. And as we do on many Wednesdays, we will have our Daily Dose Hump Day Power Rankings. I've got something for you tomorrow. I think you'll find it very, very interesting. You just never know what we might be ranking this week. Hey, I have to say thank you all so much for listening to the Daily Dose. For all of you that share the show, that tell your friends, that email us, that text us, that message us, thank you so much. It is appreciated. I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all tomorrow. Have a great Tuesday.